welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that word. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us. Oh, Lord, we just take heart this morning that you are for us. You do love us. You never let us go. Your presence is here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word of God today. As we do, we're going to take a look at a passage in Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus giving us some instructions about the new way we live, the new way we approach life that's very different from what they were used to experiencing and the way they were used to thinking about people and love and different things like that. And Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." So, of course, he goes on to say, if you just love those who love you, you're pretty much like everybody else. There's really nothing distinctive or special or different. He said, but your Father, you know, he makes his sun shine on evil and good. In other words, the sun shines this morning, and it is not shining selectively. It just shines on everybody. You know, as your Dave was talking about, just, you know, hot or cold, you know, we can have an appreciation for the sun, the warmth, the beauty, and all different, you know, aspects of nature that we appreciate as a creator. But there could be another person who just looks out and sees kind of an elaborate product of random chaos over billions of years from a mysterious original matter that we don't know where it came from. You can have two different, completely different perspectives, but whatever your perspective is, the sun is shining on you unconditionally. That sun shines on you. It's here. That's why I like that word this morning too, is my grace, it's here. It's always been here. It's here. Whether you appreciate it, whether you don't appreciate it, that sun is going to shine. And there is a beautiful picture in just the natural sunshine of grace and the love of God and the mercy of God. He just shines on the just and on the unjust. It's a natural light, something we can observe. But there's another light also, similarly, that shines. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So this is talking about another light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There was a light that was brought in 2,000 years ago through the person of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, that light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is another proactive light that just shines. Whether you appreciate it, whether you don't appreciate it, you can make your judgments about it in the same way you can with natural light and natural creation. You can do the same thing with spiritual light. Either way, that light is shining, and it is shining on you, and it is shining toward you. It's this unconditional picture of the love of God that shines through the darkness. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about the light that shines on you. A lot of times we talk about, and rightly so, the Word of God as it relates to walking in the light as He is in the light. Sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit reap life. Things that we do intentionally that bless us, and we receive things from God. And we can understand that, and that's all good and true. But there is another truth that has a broader context to that truth. In other words, there's a reason we can do that because of a broader truth. There's a light that shines on us. There is an unconditional light that shines regardless, again, just, unjust, opinions, good day, bad day, the light that shines on you. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at this in a few different contexts in terms of the light that shines on you. In other words, this is something that's proactive from God. This is not a reward for my Bible reading or living for God or loving. It's a proactive, initiated by God light that comes on all. And the first light that we want to look at as it relates to this that I think we can identify with in a lot of ways is the light of salvation. Okay? There is a light of salvation. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. This is prophetic through the book of Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A beautiful prophetic promise, not addressed to people who love God, not addressed to people who are living for God or who are walking in the light. He's addressing this to people who walk in darkness, have seen a great light. There is a light that is shining on the darkness. And of course, this is prophetic to salvation. This is prophetic to the fact that there will be born to us a child that is going to shine this light of salvation that's going to be available. Now, of course, every Christmas we celebrate the fulfillment. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The great fulfillment of that Isaiah prophecy, that people who walk in darkness are going to see a great light. There is going to be a Savior born to you. And we know that this Savior brought with him a gospel. He brought good news with him. When this Savior came to this earth, he didn't stay a baby in a manger. He grew up. He became like us. The Bible says in every point, he became like us, experienced our human condition. I mean, we think and talk about Jesus, but mostly when we're talking and thinking about Jesus and preaching and the Word, it's just 3.5 years of his life. 10% of his life is what we really give all of our attention to. But there was another 90% of his life where he just lived life. He was making a living. He had brothers and sisters. He had a family. He had to get along with people. He went to synagogue. He just had a regular life, experienced what we experience. And as he grew up, what did he do? He was baptized by John. Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and he went into that ministry, and he began to heal the sick. He began to teach, raise the dead. He did all kinds of amazing things to demonstrate who he was as God. But he did something else. He never sinned. He never missed it. He never failed. There was a law that none of us could keep, but somebody did keep it. And in keeping it, when he was crucified, he took the righteousness that he had and he gave it to us as a gift. The righteousness that he earned. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Because there is a righteousness in the law that's attainable through a perfect life. And our Lord came with a perfect life. And when he died on that cross unjustly, something had to get reconciled. So what did God do? He swapped all of our sin on the cross to reconcile the books of heaven and paid for our sin. Literally paid for our sin. And salvation, when we experience that, it's a revelation that, man, my sin was on there, paid for in Christ. There's a truth. And I'll tell you, everybody has their own story of how you come to that. You might come to it right away. It might take you years to come to it. There can be a jadedness. There can be a why God, different things. But at some point, that light is shining. It's shining on every human being. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to that light, to know him. But here's the reality. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blindfolded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, this light shines on this whole world. There is a gospel light that's for the whole world. Does everybody see it? No, everybody doesn't see it. But is it still shining? Yes, it is. And that veil can represent different things. It can represent questions, hurts, pains, different things like that we don't know. It could be just a jadedness towards spiritual things. There's a lot of things that can cause and create that veil. But whether you have a veil or not, just as sure as the sun is shining, regardless of what you believe about the sun, it shines. The sun, S-O-N, is shining regardless of what you believe about the S-O-N either. He's shining unconditionally. There's a light that is shining. And what happens in our story ultimately? This, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So what happens? At some point, there's a decision. Yeah, we all have that veil stuff. In other words, this is a faith proposition. We're saved by grace through faith. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself as a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. There is a perception of the gospel of light, but at some point, regardless of what your backstory is, there is a step of faith. There is a step of humbling your intellect, your questions, your emotions, and just saying, I believe the gospel. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life with questions and all. A lot of times I'll say there's many things I don't understand. There's one thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died for me. God raised you from the dead. I believe that simple truth. I haven't problem solved any of my veil questions. I've changed the subject to the fact that God loves me. And I answer that call. And I respond to that call. And something happens. You get born again. You get changed. The Bible says you get translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You don't join a religion. It's not joining a church per se. It's becoming part of the family of God. There's a change in your heart, in your spirit. And this is where we all have our own story. We all have our own backstory of what does that mean? What does that look like at the point where I chose Jesus Christ? You're the Lord of my life. You know, I love the story too in the scripture about the wise men. They followed a star, you know. They kind of knew generally there was something there. They knew generally there was something amazing that was about to happen. But they just followed the light of the star. And a lot of times when you look at your own backstory, there's just a light. There's a gleam. There's a drawing that God finally gets you to the stable. He gets you to the Lord. He gets you to the child. He gets you to that point of decision. But what is this? This is the light of salvation. And it's the light that shines upon all of us. Regardless of what we believe or profess to believe, there is that light of grace of salvation. And I think a lot of us can understand, identify with that. But we need to understand that too now as believers, that there's another light. There's a light of restoration. So I kind of say all that to say this, hold that thought. Hold that concept, all right? We get it, we understand it, but there's an important parallel of this concept that we're about to pull over into a lot of our lives today, right now, and that is the light of restoration, okay? Again, we're going back to a few different Isaiah prophecies as it relates to these light, where Isaiah says, arise from the depression, prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone's coming home. Your sons are coming home from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. This is such a beautiful picture. First of all, what you see, there's two things that are being seen from two different perspectives. He starts out by saying, arise from the depression, shine, be radiant with the glory, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In other words, there are things that keep us down, but there is a light of restoration that'll cause you to rise from the depression and the prosperity. There's a light that like beckons you. It's pulling you up. And you can see as that person responds and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them, you know, nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will see your radiance, will look for everyone sees it's coming home. Your sons and daughters are coming from a distant land. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine, thrill with the joy. There's a light that you receive. There's a light that you perceive that gets you up, that causes you to shine. Now, this is prophetic for a nation, but a nation that shines and you can and carry it over. And I'll just say this in a practical sense. I've experienced this. You've probably experienced this too. When you've made a decision and you've allowed the light to cause you to rise and shine, there's a change. There's a change in you that's restorative that other people can see and even be drawn to and be inspired to be restorative. And you're pointing them to the light that you first saw. that light that got you up. But what are we saying? There is a light that's restorative in nature. In other words, I'm not talking about this morning here in this point, the light for the unbeliever. This is a light for the believer. This is a light that causes the believer to be refreshed and restored. A light that doesn't go out. A light that is always on. In the same way that salvation light shines on the whole world, there is another light that shines for us as believers. Now, I'm going to take a look at a person who is a believer, you know, in his day. And in fact, the Bible says that this guy walked blameless before the Lord. So this is a guy who knew the Lord, walked blameless, and but also, as we look at his life, we find out that just in a day, he lost everything. You guys can probably figure it out. I'm talking about Job. I'm talking about a guy who walked blameless before the Lord, and he lost his property. He lost his children. He suffered tremendous loss. And when you read the book of Job, he says some things out of a dark place. Because as believers, even though we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we can still experience darkness and do experience darkness in this world. And this is where we need to realize, too, that there is another light that's available. Now, Job was frustrated. Think about it. He had boils. He was physically hurt. He's grieving the loss of his children. And then he's got his comforters who are accusing him, putting spiritual condemnation that there must be, you did something wrong, there's sin in the camp, so now I got to deal with condemnation on top of grieving, on top of physical pain. And he's mad. This is a dark place. And this is a guy who walks blameless with God. And he said, man, I really want something right now. And this was Job's heart cry in the middle of that, in the middle of his darkness. He said, he, God, is not a man like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If there were someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand on us both, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more, then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. Job wanted to be able to, he wanted his day in court. He wanted his day in court with God. He wanted to be able to go before God and say, what's going on here? This isn't right. This isn't fair. And on top of that, I got these people that are, you know, accusing me. You know, there was a situation here where he is saying, this is it. God, I want this. I want this forum with God Almighty. He said, I don't have it. And Job was right. He didn't have it. The new covenant is a new covenant for a reason. The new covenant is based on better promises for a reason. We're in this new covenant. In fact, we have today what Job wanted in his hour of darkness. The scripture says now in the new covenant, there is now one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Praise God. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who's been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. This is what Job wanted. Job wanted that high priest who could understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses, yet without sinning. He's got that hand in our hand. He says, I get you. They did this. They said that. You feel like doing this? You feel like saying that? I feel it. I feel the temptation. I feel what you feel. I've gone through it with you. I've gone through it as a human being. I get it. I get that like tempted in every point as respect as you are. I get it. Yet without sinning, he never missed it. He never failed. He has the perfect representation of God, the perfect representation of man, And so what is the conclusion? Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. In other words, there's a place that we can go. There is a place. You think of the old commercial. Is it Motel or Hotel 6? We'll leave the light on for you. Hotel? All right. Or Motel 6. Okay. Thank you, Scott. Motel 6. You know, my heart leaps, I'll be quite honest with you. Even when we live out here in Door County, a little more ruralish, when I see a place that says, or a gas station that's open 24/7, it's like, oh, yeah. I like that. I like 24/7. That means it can be 3:23, and I need to run to the gas station for something. It's there for me. I mean, there's something about that. Now, it's there for me. Always there. Always open, always available, no matter what that need is. There's a light, again, like we said, that shines for salvation for the unbeliever. It's there. They've got their veil issues, and the Holy Spirit's working with them through that star to lead them through those veil issues. But either way, that light is shining. For us, we have deep, dark places too we experience, like Job. Job didn't have the throne of grace. We do. We have a throne of grace that's always open. I'm not trying to manufacture light. Or sometimes when you think about that dark place, we can kind of mistaken sometimes and think, okay, I'm going to do something. This is right. This is good. I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm going to sow to the Spirit. I'm going to do those things. And we can kind of think of it from a sowing and reaping sanctification mentality when our backs are up against the wall. And there is that. There is that sowing and reaping. But we need to understand there's a broader work of grace. There's a throne of grace that's there. I'm not trying to manufacture light. I'm not trying to produce light. I remember the Lord told me this once. He said, Ed, stop trying to be spiritual and go where spiritual is. There is a throne of grace that we can come boldly toward. There's so many things in those dark places. There's questions. There's frustrations. There's weakness. And instead of trying to resolve them, just come over here. Come over here to the throne of grace. Let the light of the throne of grace just shine on you for a while. Just come back to where there is light. Come back to that place. In other words, Job wanted to be able to arbitrate with God without condemnation. And that's our invitation. You can come and arbitrate with God without condemnation. You can express and let your requests be made known unto him in this place. There is a light that is shining. And even in the same way that the unbeliever can play hard to get with their own salvation, you know, as far as whether you're going to receive the gospel or not, we can play hard to get with our own mercy and grace to help in time of need. We can play the same games as the unbeliever does. And, you know, the same jadedness that can keep a person from turning their heart toward God, we can have our same darkness that can keep us jaded from turning our heart toward God. And what is it? There is a faith decision. In other words, that unbeliever at some point has to just make a decision of faith to choose to believe. Same thing. I choose to enter the throne of grace against the grain of my feelings, against the grain of my intellect that doesn't know. I'm just choosing to enter the throne of grace. I'm just making that choice. Many things I don't understand, one thing I choose to believe. You love me, you died for me. Many things I don't understand, one thing I choose to believe. There is a throne of grace that I can come boldly before and receive mercy and grace to help in my time of need. There's just a place that I'm having to come to. Same place. Why? The light is shining on you in both places. This is talking about the light that shines on you. This is not something you reaped. This is something that's shining. It's 24/7. It's that 24/7, yes. It's that place I can go to because it is 24/7. It is always open, is always available. This is a great little song that came out that I love, that to me, it really speaks to the believer kind of playing hard to get with the grace of God as it comes to some of these places of the heart. Maybe you're going through a Job situation, like, you know, not exactly, but in some ways perhaps. And this is how the song, it's called Healing Begins. So you thought you had to keep this up. All the work that you do, So we think you're good. And you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you build up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins. This is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. Afraid to let your secrets out, everything that you hide comes crashing through the door now, but too scared to face all your fear. So you hide, but you find the shame won't disappear. Sparks will fly as grace collides with the dark inside of us. So please don't fight this coming light. Let this blood come cover us. His blood can cover us. This is where the healing begins. This is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, where the light meets the dark. There's a light that shines on you, but there's a light that in the same way we had to come to Jesus, we come to that throne of grace. And we say, okay, Lord, your light is here. Now, as you're coming to a place, and as Job was crying out in that place, you know, your soul is heavy. Your soul is, you know, tormented. It's vexed. It's all this stuff. And when you're coming into that place, it's the reality of it is you're coming to the place where you just know there is light. I'm just humbling myself. I'm just doing what I know to do, Father God. All I want is one thing. I just want fellowship with you. I just want to get what's in my heart out, and I want to be able to hear what you're saying about it. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. That's everything. When you've got that, when you've been able to go to court with God and get what's in your heart out, and you begin to pick up things in your spirit, if it's just one thing, if it's just one scripture, if it's just a little bit of light, my goodness, you know you're on your way. Because as soon as that light, see, the light, the Bible says, the light comprehended or not. The darkness could not comprehend the light. The darkness could not extinguish the light. In other words, whatever I'm going through, whatever my believer darkness is, it cannot extinguish the light that's at this throne of grace. It cannot extinguish the light that I have as a believer, as a child of God. I can come to this throne of grace. What am I going to do here? I'm going to begin to, you know, arbitrate. I'm going to begin to get what's in my heart out. But this is what happens in real life as we let this light shine. One of the old church fathers said, the same light, the same sun that will harden clay will melt wax. And a lot of times when we're outside that throne of grace, there's kind of a clay, there's a frustration. But when we come into this throne of grace and just by faith and just begin to get what's in our heart out, there's a switch. There's a change. Our heart begins to soften. And when your soul is full of stuff again, what does the scripture say? He says, he restores your soul. This isn't just going to be a flip of a switch, but as you begin to get in the presence of God and you begin to get stuff that's in your heart out and you get light, that light will have a restorative effect on your soul. It's a light that restores. It will show you one thing, and you go to that one thing. And as you get that one thing, you get revelation on something else, he will begin to do a work in your heart of restoration. But there is a place that we got to realize that is full of light, that we can always go. There's a place that we can come confidently. You know, this morning, just as we're singing and we're worshiping God, we all come in here with problems. We all come in here with issues. We all come in here with our stuff. But what do? We begin to worship the Lord. And that word that we had, beautiful word, his presence is here. His presence is with us. A lot of things we don't understand, but what do we know? He's here. He loves us. He's for us. That's what this scripture, I think, is such a profound truth as it relates to worship. Worship can be such a powerful response in those times. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once who were not a people, but are now the people of God. Once who had not received mercy, but now have received mercy. That's us. Praise God. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. This morning, just as I'm, you know, just getting this in my heart and just as I'm just feeling stirred in this area, the main thing that I just really want to get across is just a couple things. As we're in those places, in those dark places, realize that there is a place where the sun is shining. You know, in other words, in the same way you've got the unbeliever who's got the veil, the gospel is shining, but there's a veil, we have the circumstances of life. That's where I like how this the scripture says, to arise from the depression and the prostration, which what? The circumstances have kept you. As believers, we experience circumstances that can create that cloud, as it were. But this is where we realize that sun is still shining. There is a the light of his priesthood is still shining. And I'm not reaping light. I'm going to that light. It's a place that I'm going to on purpose. It's always shining, no matter what the darkness is. And that light is greater than our darkness. You can think, wow, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how deep the darkness is. Well, it's just a matter of getting a revelation of how bright that light is, how good God is. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. He has told us in his word, it is checkmate regarding resources. It's just a matter of believing. It's just a matter of humbling yourself as a little child and believing. Just that deliberate decision. Lord, I believe again. Lord, I'm going to let your light shine on in. And finally, there is a light of eternity. This light that ultimately draws us to salvation and keeps us in this life now is a light that's going to continue to shine. This is the final Isaiah prophetic word. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall be the moon to give you light. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. In other words, there's a trajectory to this thing that we're doing. This is not just a game we're playing. This is part of a promise. When we receive Christ as Savior, the trajectory is eternal life. It's a place where the fulfillment of this we find in Revelation. I saw no temple in it. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun nor of the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. This is our eternal state. This is where we were in complete darkness, but we saw a great light. We've become to learn how to walk in that light, how to experience that light, how to come back to that light, and ultimately one day it's going to just be all light. And you want to know something that I'm excited about for this day? It's not even so much just the glory and the illumination and the spectacularness, that's a word, of light, but the fact is that when you get there, the light you experience there will be familiar. It'll be like an old friend to you. It'll be high levels, but it's the same light. The same light that drew you to Christ, the same light that kept you going back to the throne of grace, the same light that, you know, kept his peace, you know, passing your understanding, kept the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. It will be the same presence of God. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's there. He's there through the whole journey. You know, we were doing the Lord of the Rings for the men's retreat, and there's such a cool scene in that movie where, you know, you've got Sam and Frodo. And Sam, as I look at that movie, Sam's like a type of the Holy Spirit to me, you know, where Frodo is saying, man, you know, they're going to tell these stories about you, Mr. Frodo, someday. And Frodo says, well, I want to hear about Sam, you know. And he said, Frodo wouldn't have gotten very far without Sam. And just this traveling companion who's with you. And these journeys, of course, are just unbelievable stuff. But allegorically, there is that Sam. There is that character. And then at the end of the movie, there is a where you see Frodo, he's kind of recovering, but he sees Sam come through the door. And there's just like a, almost just like this quiet knowing, this quiet look of exchange that they experience together. And even these little hobbits at the end, they're in the tavern and they've got this world that's just singing and dancing. You know, they just got done saving a world that doesn't even realize it just got saved, kind of. But they're just enjoying this little time together, and they're kind of lifting a glass, and there's nothing they can say. They just kind of look at each other. It's like, oh. There's this deep, sweet, intimate, words couldn't do it justice. Work. But you see that there's these moments that got them through that whole thing. We have the light of the Holy Spirit who's shining. When you're in the streets of glory, when you're the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit who will never leave you. He'll be with you in heaven too. He's not just there to dump you off at heaven. He's there in you in heaven. Do you understand? He's with you forever. You're a new creation with the Holy Spirit, and you're not inhibited by the flesh, the world, and the devil to distract. Just pure, dialed in, Holy Ghost, new creation, glorified body. Wow. And he can intimately remind you of those places, of his faithfulness and his love. There is something powerful when you look back in a nostalgic way of how God took you and carried you and preserved you. There is going to be a glory. I'm just saying that we're experiencing from the light that's shining on you right now. There will be a glory. Paul said that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. What am I saying? We have a light that shines on us. That light is a person. That light is the Holy Spirit. He was there with us at the new birth. He's the one who drew us. He's the light that shined, the one who ultimately connected the dots to get us to Christ, to where we could receive him. But he's shining now, and there is a throne of grace. There is a throne of grace where we have a high priest. We can go to court. We can, you know, I don't mean like we're duking it out with God, but we're going to court with God without condemnation. We can go to a place where we can express our heart without shame and condemnation, and that if there's things that we need forgiveness for, it's there for us. If there's things that my heart says, oh, I was wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I was wrong there. I'm sorry. I received that forgiveness and cleansing. But now, Lord, what about this? How do I respond to this? How do I go forward with this? Give me direction. Show me what you want me to do. There's that forum you have to get what's in your heart out. There is a place where it is 24/7 light. In the middle of our darkness, there is a 24/7 throne of grace that we can go to find light. And that's the light that will ultimately know. We're getting to know him there. As frustrating as that exercise is, I'm telling you what, every time you keep going back there, you're getting to know him a little better, his faithfulness, his presence. It's a light that's always shining on you. We don't have to play hard to get with that light. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the light that shines on us, Father God. This is a picture of grace. This is a picture of your love that just completely cuts through our darkness in every situation, Lord, that you can cut through the darkness of our unbelief, where you can cut through and begin to show us and guide us and say, I am here, I love you, I'm for you. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the light that shines on me. The light that draws me to Jesus. Lord Jesus, today's my day. I call upon your name. There's many things I don't understand. But there's one thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died on that cross for my sin. I believe the gospel. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you for it. And Lord Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. Even when it gets dark, I will remember that there's a place that's not dark, that's full of light, it's full of grace, It's full of sympathy and understanding. The precious throne of grace. Lord, I come boldly to your throne of grace. Whether I have a good day or a bad day, regardless of how I feel, it's 24/7. That light's shining in my direction. I meet you today. Soften my heart. Give me the direction and the guidance that I need. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Again, just really an admonition. I think so many times to stop striving. It's an old Keith Green song. My son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what I've done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. These inflection points, what am I striving for? The light's already shining. I'm going to just come boldly to the throne of grace by faith and receive that grace and mercy to help. Amen. Praise God.